It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what he read on Twitter, with music by Delete Greats Cars and Trucks, with special guest Jim Widener. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome in to the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, Scotty Johnny himself. And though we don't have the one who is with me as per the usual, we are joined by friend of the podcast, Jim Widener.
Hi, John.
Welcome back, Jim. Jim is very good to join us on very short notice, as Aaron may have certain obligations with his employment with the Wisconsin Army National Guard. And, well, he definitely has those at this point. If you can just read Wisconsin news and try to sort it all out for yourself and see what's going on. But I won't bore everybody with the details there. What I will say is to remember that you can follow this show at Scotty Johnny Pod on Twitter. You can also find me at Not So Humble Host. Jim, you are also on Twitter. Where people find you?
I am. I'm at Jim Widener 51. That's the number five, the number one after Jim Widener. And Twitter.
Perfect. And Jim does write, was it Fantasy, is it the Draft Fantasy Greek? What is it?
That actually is discontinued. Okay. Fantasy Greek was the first one, then moved on to Last Word on Sports, and then also Pack to the Future right now.
Okay. See, Last Word on Sports is where Jim and I know each other. Obviously, I used to write there. So we both used to write there, though you currently continue to write there.
Correct.
You've got some recent stuff. We'll kind of talk about some of them because they're draft specific and they're going to deal with receivers, linebackers, and running backs. And we got a little bit of all of that today for our Packers stuff. Additionally, Aaron and I actually used to do this podcast, although it was only Packers at the time. And it was the Green, Gold, and Bold podcast for Last Wear on Sports. I don't know if they're still doing a podcast for the Packer group, but
I don't think they're doing any more podcast, period, from the last. It's all online,
you know, if you
writing articles.
If you lost Aaron and me, you really just need to shut it down. I mean, you're not coming back from that.
Well, after what I heard of Aaron's son last week, I think you both are in trouble.
Andrew is exciting. He's fun.
Andrew, he was in the pocket. He said a lot of good stuff, and I liked how Aaron handled it. It was perfectly.
Oh, you just wait till Ruby comes on. Ruby and Andrew are going to get rid of both of us. It's going to be great. His daughter Ruby, also firecracker, a lot of fun. It's going to be good times to listen to.
Daughters always are. I've got two of them. So.
I have three, and then two boys as well. All of them are adventures. Just different adventures. Remind everybody that you can follow this show. You can listen to us either on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and much, much more. Remember that when you do find us, wherever you do find us, and whatever you listen to your podcasts on, please subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. Those reviews do help us and help other people find the podcast. But with that said, we're going to get going right into the main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right. The first thing I want to do is essentially a mea culpa because this is old news. But Tyler Irvin, we didn't talk about Tyler Irvin last week in getting very excited with the great cast that we had last week and all the fun Brewers things that we were going over and the memory lane we kept walking down and Aaron's odd asides wherever they led us. We neglected to talk about Tyler Irvin. For one, am very excited about this. What's things you have to add here? I want to hear what you have. I think you mentioned this a little bit in your recent article at Last Word on Sports.
I did. It's an interesting, you know, I kind of wavered on the fact if they were going to bring him back or not. I thought maybe they'd, you know, part ways and try to find somebody in the draft who does punt and kickoff returns as well. But you know, I think it was probably one of the more underrated pickups last year by Gutekunst and the Packers to pick him up midseason off waivers from the Jaguars, because what he did was he he solidified the return game for the Packers, something that was just miserable before he showed up, and probably saved Sean, oh, I don't know how to pronounce the special teams coach, Menengas,
oh, yeah.
I think it is, saved his job because of what he was able to do. I mean, it wasn't, obviously, I don't think he, I know he didn't return any for touchdowns, but positive yards, and he only had the, I think, one muff fumble in against the Niners in the playoffs. So, yeah. I mean, to me, he did a lot. And he also, in the, as I wrote at Last Word on Sports, you saw what he could do on offense, just a very simple amount. But, you know, that was in my most recent article, discussed the fact that the Packers are solidified at number one and number two on running backs with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. But they're looking for a third running back who does a little something different than the other two. And Irvin, it seems, more of a natural pass catcher than the other two. And he might be able to not only be their returner, but fill that number three running back role if Dexter Williams, their sixth round pick last year, doesn't win the job. And with what's going on in today's world, OTAs might not happen. Training camp might be short. So you never know what Dexter Williams is going to be able to show the coaching staff. So we'll see what happens. But I thought it was, I mean, I think it was a one-year deal.
Yep.
Kind of what they've done throughout free agency, looking for bargains. And I think it was probably, you can't knock Gutekunst for bringing him back, because he did a good job last year and Irvin did. And I think that it's going to, he's going to continue to help out the punt and kickoff returns and see what happens, and might be able to get that third running back role.
Right. And I like how you address some of that too in your articles. You were talking about Dexter Williams and kind of what are the Packers going to do to get this this backfield to look like what they want it to look like. Not a lot maybe that they can do in the draft. There's going to be people available, obviously, as we were talking about, but and as you were writing about. But yeah, I think that this is great. Tyler Irvin does a lot of things that are very good. He's very good in the open field. He is a natural good pass catcher. All of those top three are. And we got to see Irvin do a little bit of it last year. I think it would be a really fun way to just attack a defense is have a way to get Irvin in the slot and then put Williams and Jones in the backfield. Not Dexter Williams, but Jamal Williams.
Yeah.
And if you've got three running backs out there, but you can run one like a wide receiver and you could run the other two in any other way you wanted to. I was like, man, that would be an interesting matchup, I think. They'll never do it, but I would love to see that three times a game. That would be amazingly fun.
I think, and I might be just going off the top of my head, he either had just one catch for 10 yards or one carry for 10 yards.
I know he had a catch for at least 10.
Yeah, so, I mean, one of his handoffs was one of those, as many people write that are obsessed with those jet sweeps, and I think that's what he ran. Was one of those jet sweeps for positive yardage. So I like your idea, and I think it probably won't happen, but it's something that I would love to see too, is his ability. And I think, didn't you, was it at Acme Packing, have to do a draft review of him when he came out of San Jose State?
Yeah, I wrote the one on him, and I wrote, was it Josh Ferguson out of Illinois? And
okay,
I think Kenneth Dixon was another guy. I think he was he the next year? Kenneth Dixon, I loved. I'm still just heartbroken how poorly his just injuries ended his career. That guy had wide receiver hands, great speed, and just a giant body. I really wish he'd have had a better time. But yeah, that was a rough turn for him.
Yeah,
they were all good. Like I said, watching him coming out of San Jose State. He was a great return guy. He had great speed. He has good cuts. He has very good vision. Doing things like jet sweeps or any way, like even just getting him in some space with a blocker or two and letting him read an entire field is a great thing to do. He's not as great between the tackles as what we've got in the the two who are going to be ahead of him. But he's got some great athleticism, and I think that if you've got somebody like we have in LaFleur, having somebody who can maybe invent ways to use somebody like this and find ways to get that athleticism to the edges or just find a way to move them somewhere and create a mismatch. I think there's a lot of things you could do that are very good with Tyler Irvin. He's not that old, and he you know, he's still got his legs under him. He didn't get a lot of touches in the NFL at this point.
Well, it'll be, you know, and that's the thing is about LaFleur's offense. At the wide receiver position, you've got a lot of tall, athletic wide receivers who, except for Valdez-Scantling, the speed isn't, you know, you don't see a ton of, like, top-end speed on out of that position. So I know Irvin's not just a complete burner, but he does bring some type of different aspect to the position if you do utilize him in that. So I agree with you. If they can, you know, do some different things with him and just not make him just a returner, which, you know, we'll see what happens in the draft. I mean, that's – and we'll get into it in the talking about the draft prospects, but – right now, I mean, if you bring in a running back, say they decide to, and I know all your Wisconsin listeners will love that, but if they bring in Jonathan Taylor, so now, you know, so say they bring him in, and the fact is you have no OTAs, training camp short, what are you going to expect out of, you know, a rookie running back next year, at least with Irvin and then also with Dexter Williams? You've got two guys that have spent some time in the offense and with the organization. So that was my thing is, you know, in the article I wrote, it might be tempting for Gutekunst to do. I don't know if, you know, it's very odd for a team that reached the NFC championship to say this, but he's got a lot of other holes to fill. And,
sure.
You know, obviously, and we'll get into it, but wide receiver to me would be the first thing that he needs. He has to, in my opinion, grab at least two wide receivers, and he can't do what he did when he grabbed Jamon Moore, Valdez-Scantling, and St. Brown. I mean, I think you've got to get some of the higher, you know, first 1, 2, or 3 or 1, 3 pick as wide receivers.
Yeah, I think that draft was a little different in the way that it fell. Some of those guys were athletic sorts of people that were worth the 4th, 5th, 6th type pick. But there weren't guys at where we were picking that were going to be worth the value of picking high. I think very fortunately for us, this draft does fall in a spot where a lot of talent is going to fall in that position of being late first round sort of wide receiver talent. And even, you know, second and third round guys are going to be valuable enough to be, I mean, if we're looking for one of those guys to be a third or fourth option on this team, that'll still be fine. A couple of names, and we talked about it before the show started here, but there's a couple names that are floating around a lot in terms of Packers picks in the first round, mostly wide receiver. I want to start with the wide receivers. There's a couple inside linebackers we were going to talk about too. One of the big ones that seems to come up the most is Denzel Mims, wide receiver out of Baylor. For his measurables here, he has a 4.38 40 and ran a 6.66 three cone. He's got a sub-7 three cone, which is that's one of those things people enjoy, and one of the reasons probably why they say he seems to match a lot of the old, and it's hard to tell how much of these still matter, but the things that Ted Thompson loved in wide receivers seem to still be the same sorts of things that are being looked at by Gutekunst.
Well, and the thing too about it is you've got to, and I'm not a big fan of it, but as a football fan, but the RAS scores, those RAS scores, relative, yeah, athletic, whatever it is. I think you've got to kind of, if you're a mock drafter, kind of look at, or even a Packer fan, out of those wide receiver prospects that fall down at the end of the first round, who's got, because it seems like Gutekunst, at least last year, he was a firm believer of going off those RAS scores. That was his big deal. Yeah. And, you know, to see where they sit on that scale of where, right, they fit into that. So it'll be interesting because, I mean, you know, Mims to me would fit perfectly. I don't know what his score is, but I would imagine it's, you know, after the numbers you just said, it are quite high. And, you know, at 6'3", 200 and some pounds, running a 4.38 in the 40 is pretty impressive. And Baylor threw it around the field quite a bit. So, I mean, he has some experience. I took a look at his highlight video, which you can't really gauge, but right, seems like he's a hand catcher. So that's a positive. And it'll be interesting. I just, you know, if you follow some of the mocks and what people are saying, that there's probably a chance that Mims might not be there. If he's there, yeah, I would expect Packers to take him.
His RAS comes in as a 9.76.
Yeah. So he would fit right into what Gutekunst has kind of and his staff have kind of gone off of. Because I think that's one of the reasons you saw Gary get selected high as he did by the Packers last year, Rashad Gary. So,
yeah, one of the other, I'll say the one thing that does, I guess, kind of get me on Mims is he seems to have sometimes, he has one of the higher drop rates among the receivers that are being talked about in the back part of the draft. So that's, I guess, at first concerning.
Playing with Rodgers, that's very concerning.
Right. Just basically, I think we've talked about this on the show before too, but the big thing is like the Ted Thompson sort of way of going at it, like I guess Devontae Adams is one of the prime examples of it. You'll give up speed if you can make sure that he's a guy who can run routes and he'll catch the ball when it hits the hands, which is, I guess, sometimes why Funchess seems like a weird pick to go out and get. But still, you want a guy who's going to be able to get the ball when it's there. But Rodgers being a little less accurate than before, maybe you want to just try to increase the catch radius and see what you can do and just get athletic people around him and then find ways to use them. I don't know.
That's an interesting point on Rodgers' accuracy. I mean, is it his accuracy or having to play with guys who, except for Adams, is pretty inexperienced? I mean, yeah, Lazard did a nice job and they seem to be on the same page, but Valdez-Scantling and him really haven't got on the same page. Jamon Moore didn't even really play. So, I mean, he looks for people that he trusts. And, you know, his big thing is always said, you got to practice, you got to play like you practice or practice like you play. So, you know, these guys, you've got to have guys who have good practice work ethics. And that'll be interesting to see who they find late in the first round. I would have a hard time believing after the lack of moves and free agency. And I understand that their hands were tied because of money. But eventually you've got to start getting some talent to Rodgers and letting him work with them. You can't expect, no offense to Whitewater Jesus, but Jay Kumro to lead the way for so long. I mean, it's Lazard was right up there with the Tyler Irvin pickup. I mean, you know, it's hard to believe that if you remember, he was cut. Lazard was cut before are one of the last final cutdowns put on the practice squad, and they kept Darius Shepherd. So,
yeah, I know, of course, I wanted Trevor Davis instead of him, but still worked out all right towards the end.
I wanted Shepherd. I'll take a blame on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I wanted Davis, but either way, Lazard was the right call in the end. One of the other high RAS score guys that comes up is Justin Jefferson. If everybody probably knows him, he was playing with Joe Burrow at the end of last year, who, since he is from LSU and likely to go to the Bengals, people are demanding he be known as the Tiger King, which is amazing. I just love that now. Justin Jefferson has a 9.69 RAS. That's because he ran a 4.43. He didn't do the six. He doesn't have an official three cone, because there's no pro day and there was no, he didn't do it at the combine. But
look, well, he's another one. I mean, if you look in, I've pulled up something on the computer here, the NFL draft order. You look late in the first round. I mean, you've got the Alabama kid, CeeDee Lamb. Oh. And then is it two Alabama kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Jerry Judy. And is it Riggs? Is that how you pronounce the last name?
Yeah.
Those are the top three that will go. I doubt they'll slide. So then you've got mid to late first round. Mims, his name's been being mentioned, and Jefferson. Well, before the Packers get on the clock at number 30, you've got the Vikings up twice, and they're looking, although they don't seem very interested in the forward pass anymore now that Sim got his guy Cuz running the show there. And the Eagles. The Eagles wide receivers, I would argue, is a bigger mess than the Packers.
Well, they had a lot of injuries last year, and I think that definitely affects how you look at that. They definitely had to play with a ton of depth. Wentz is like the first guy to throw for 4,000 yards and not have a single 1,000-yard receiver on the team. So it's like that.
Amazing.
It's just sad to see. other than Mims and Jefferson, some of the other names on there, Jalen Reagor out of TCU, Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State. Those are big names there that I see. Those are a couple of other names that are going to come in around that same area where we're talking about, where we're going to have to look at seeing what those other teams are going to do and kind of how they're going to fall to us. Oddly, Jalen Reagor is a guy I find interesting. He's got, what am I seeing his time here? It looks like he ran a 4.47, but his three cone was a 7.31. If you watch him, he's got good ability to track that ball downfield. He does catch very well with hands. He does a good point of high targeting the ball as it comes in. You know, if you remember watching the way that Greg Jennings used to catch the ball sometimes.
Yeah.
He had the way that he would do this would be the dead arm catch. And he did this on purpose because corners put their hands up when they see your hands move towards the ball. So he would just wait and then just catch it low. So it looked like he was just running, and then the ball was already there before a corner could even turn their eyes because he never was hands up. Most guys, you want to try to go and get as much as you can your thumbs together to catch the ball. Pinkies together is harder. I mean, obviously, NFL guys do that all the time, though. He does a good job of getting his hands to the ball and pulling it in. He's got good catch. But the problem is, it looks like his RAS score is a 5.98, which probably means he doesn't go to us.
Yeah, I actually was kind of shocked on that one because I'm coming out this week with my 7-round Packer projection for Last Word on Sports. And, you know, the two that you mentioned, Reagor and Ayuk, and the other one that I really like is the kid from Colorado, Chenault, LaVisca, I think is how you pronounce his first name. Those three, the kid from Colorado, Arizona State, and TCU. I think Ayuk might have a higher RAS score than Chenault, or vice versa. But so the Chenault kid I like because he's 6'2". He's built like a running back. And, of course, for those people that love the jet sweep, he can do that. He did a lot of wildcat formation. He was the quarterback out of that. So those three might be at play at the end of the first round. Now, an interesting throw this at you. Say those three have second-round grades. Do they bypass drafting a wide receiver late in the first and just grab their offensive tackle who will eventually start at right tackle after the Rick Wagner stopgap is over? That'll be an interesting see how that plays out.
It's not outside the realm of possibility. There are tackles who will be there who will be interesting enough to go out and get. The one thing is, if you're looking at like Mims and Reagor are guys who have had a couple years of kind of producing stuff. The problem is that Reagor actually fell off this year. His numbers dropped.
It was horrendous.
Yeah. He went from being a 72 catches, 1,061 yards, 9 touchdowns to 611 yards on 43 catches. So, I mean, you got a lot less catches. There's not as much you can do about that. He's from Waxahachie, which is a great name. Denzel Mims had a down year 2 years ago. The thing about him is he's got a good track record in terms of what he's been producing. His sophomore year in 2017, 61 catches, 1,087 yards, 8 touchdowns. Junior year, 55 catches, dropped to, 794 yards. But then right back for this last year, his senior year, 66 catches, 1,020 yards, 12 touchdowns. He's got the ability to do some of those things. The problem is I almost see is with Lazard and Devontae, you kind of don't really need that. Like, we need that big guy, that really super speedy guy to take the top off of things. You're like, you don't almost need that because those two guys can do that. The thing is also Devontae could just be a slot guy and just be a guy who always gets open. It's just always available and catch 130 balls, whatever it is. He can be whatever you need. I almost think that there's the chance they go with one of those guys just because the slot sort of play would be interesting. Having that guy who'd be almost like a taller version of, like Ayuk or I'm forgetting who your name, they're from Colorado. Having the bigger Chenault. Guys like Chenault. Having that guy who could be like that bigger Cobb, like a larger body but taller.
And that was the thing I couldn't really get a grasp on in LaFleur's offense last year. McCarthy always had you know, Cobb, the smaller, shifty guy in the slot, where, you know, does LaFleur want that, or is it just the fact that he didn't have it last year? I mean, or does he want the tall, athletic basketball team? I mean, that will be, you know, the, what's it, how do you pronounce it, Brandon Ayuk?
I think it's Ayuk, if I remember correctly.
So we're looking at his numbers. Last year, I think he played with a true freshman last year, and he had 65 receptions for
1,000 yards. And a new head coach, too.
92 yards, yeah, and had a pro, you know, Herm Edwards, and, you know, but with putting over 1,100 yards, receiving 65 catches, 8 touchdown catches with a true freshman is pretty impressive. And he's got some of the longest arms on a wide receiver I've ever seen. I mean, it's just –
he's the slowest of the group and found his way to get open a lot. I mean, he had some long runs, but he ran the 4.5. Everyone else is sub 4.5. But still, I mean, like, if you can find, if you're a guy who can find a way to get open and you're doing the route running stuff that works, that's going to be bigger than anything in this offense. You just find your way to get open. And if he can spend some time, just Davante Adams is the master. Just the best route runner in football right now. I think so.
I no argument. I mean,
Diggs is right there too, but I really think that Adams is a little better.
Well, you know, and the thing about it too is with those 40 times, I don't know of any, you know, when the coronavirus hit, that a lot of these guys had a sit. I know, like Chanel had like a 4.59 at the combine. Well, these guys weren't able to improve it with their own, you know, at their own pro days because most of them were canceled.
Yep.
Another name to remember, and a lot of, if you sit on Twitter, and a lot of Packers fans don't want him, but I would check his RAS scores. Notre Dame's Chase Claypool. He's built like a tight end, but he blazed it up. He's like 242 pounds, and he ran like a 4.48 or something like that at the 40. And that's another name that a lot of Packers fans don't want to see, but you might see, you know, being selected by the Packers.
Yeah, I have seen that name come up a little bit. Maybe not as much as everyone else we've talked about, but those are the bigger names being talked about now. We're hoping to get a little more in depth in the next couple of weeks as we get closer to everything here. It's obviously been a little hurtful in some of the ways that we haven't gotten to see the pro days, which give you a couple of the little things you want to see. I mean, the measurables and all that are nice. They really just are there to confirm what you think you already know. And what you know is, obviously, you'd rather have CeeDee Lamb because that guy's a beast. He's crazy to watch. He was just amazing to see. It was crazy. But some of these guys, I mean, there's a lot of things they do right. Justin Jefferson, obviously, I mean, the thing that, you know, also went along with him is that he played with the best quarterback in football last year. And, you know, had some other guys around him, too, that were great. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see how some of this plays out. And I'm going to keep looking at some other stuff and trying to build my case as to what I think we should do with Phil later. I don't know that I've made up my mind on some of these guys yet, but it'll be interesting to see.
I'm looking at Claypool's RAS scores. He's actually the highest wide receiver he's above Christian Wilkerson from Southeast Missouri State, which obviously is just puts out a ton of talent.
Yeah.
And, right below him is Denzel Mims. So I would not, if Gutekunst and his staff have stuck with his RAS scores, I wouldn't be surprised if they grab an offensive tackle in the first round, that in the second they make Claypool their first wide receiver. Again, I think they have to come out of this draft with spending, you know, not even two higher draft picks on wide receivers. I mean, I Devin Funchess doesn't do much for me personally, but, you know, he's done more than I thought. He had the one decent year in Carolina, I think, in 17. And I don't know. I just think you got to get more out of that position. You got to give Rodgers some more talent. I mean,
he's got to be depth on this team. If he's anything more than just depth on this team, then it's going to be a rough year.
Yeah.
You know, if you need him to be a, you know, 700 yard receiver, it's going to be a rough year, I think.
Well, you look at it, and what is your starting three wide receivers for the Packers right now? Obviously, Adams, Lazard, Valdez-Scantling.
Yeah, maybe. Depends on how you want to line things up, and I guess you probably put MVS in the third spot right now because you don't know what you have in EQ, and he's going to be a guy who you're going to have to. I mean, having a camp would be huge for him because we would love to see what we still have in him coming back off a big injury. I mean, he cost himself a season. Well, he didn't cost it himself. He lost a season. Yep. And it would be great to know what we have in him going forward. And I think he could be a contributor, but you really don't know. You can't count on that. It's nothing you can bank on. So, yeah, it's I think for right now, for what we know, it's MVS and then EQ and Kumaro somewhere in there in the back part of that.
Well, and they picked up, I can't think of Bagleton. I think it's a CFL. Yeah, this kid from the CFL who Andy Herman just had on his Packaday show that was really good. It was.
Oh, I haven't gotten to that one. It's harder when I'm not driving as much. but you wrote the article for Last Word on Sports when they signed him out of the CFL. That was back in like January or something.
So I was Well, and I reached out to the editor for our Last Word on the CFL and got his input. He gave it to me, and it was quite interesting that, again, he's not a blazer. He's a bigger physical wide receiver, and I watched some tape on YouTube on him, and you know it's still he put up some big numbers in the CFL, but again, with what we're going through in this world. Who knows if he's going to get a fair shot if there's no OTAs or anything like that, and they jump into training camp and they grab, you know, two wide receivers high in the draft. I mean, will he even get a fair shake? I mean, they seem pretty, they like Kumaro for a lot of reasons, I guess. So and don't get me wrong. He's a solid number five receiver who can play special teams and, you know,
the great whitewater.
Yeah, it's the Whitewater Jesus. I mean, they love him. So it'll be interesting to see, but it's a position, you know, it's what we were talking about before the show is you've got offensive tackle, wide receiver, not in this specific order, and inside linebacker. And still, you don't know what they're going to do at tight end. I mean, you're expecting Sternberger to make a huge jump. Of somebody who was just a blocking tight end last year in a very small amount.
Yeah, the thing is there's not much else you're going to get in this draft in terms of tight ends.
No.
You can get some depth, and anyhow, you should never turn to the draft to get a tight end help for the next year. You need to get the tight end help for 2 years from now because there's almost never anything in their rookie year. Like Hunter Henry is one of the lone exceptions to that rule.
Well, and that's the thing, too, I would make the argument, too, you have to – especially where they're drafting late in the first round to expect. That's why I was hoping for a little more out of free agency with wide receiver is to get somebody who can come in and contribute. And right away next year, now you're expecting maybe one, two wide receivers to come in. And I'm not saying that they've given up on Valdez-Scantling, but his year two production. Now Adams' year two production wasn't strong. And look at what he's become. So, you know, maybe he makes the jump again or makes the jump in from 2 to 3, Valdez-Scantling. And St. Brown, you just don't know what you're getting.
Yeah. So we'll have to see on some of that. The other position, like you just talked about, too, that the Packers are going to have to look at is inside linebacker. The two big names that are across the first round are Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson. I'm going to say there's no chance he's there. Do you disagree?
No, he's not going to get out of the top 10, I don't think.
No, he runs a 4.39 at inside linebacker. That dude's a monster. There's no chance he gets anywhere near the Packers. I mean, that would be amazing, but it'd also be amazing if CeeDee Lamb fell to us, and that's not happening either. Patrick Queen is one of the other guys who's been shown somewhere coming closer to what the Packers are going to be picking, LSU, right? And he's what?
He played at LSU. He had one. I think he. I don't know if he was just a 1 year starter or just had the one big year last year. Championship run.
Fast guy. He ran a 4.5 at the combine. He can definitely move if he needs to move. He plays pretty well on his feet. He gets sideline to sideline. He does a lot of things that you would love to have a Packer inside linebacker do, which is, what they expected from Blake Martinez was you don't really have to worry about getting blocked. Get up and fill, even though on his way out, he has said that that's not at all what anyone wanted him to do was just, fill in the wash. They said, don't fill. Of course he was expected to fill Because at times that's what he did, but he didn't do it consistently enough this last year to make it work. But, you know, never mind. He made so many weird comments on his way out of town that I don't even understand what he's talking about half the time. Like, it's so blatant that he's not.
He reminded me of another player that wore 50 for the Packers. I mean, that I was never a big AJ Hawk fan, and I get it that, you know, he was probably a solid player, but they did draft him as high as he did, and he wasn't the playmaker. Blake was never the playmaker that you would expect, and he got gobbled up a lot of times by offensive linemen. And, you know, you can point to, you know, the defensive front failed him by keeping him clean, but he, you know, a lot, you know, and people point out how many tackles. I get it. He had a ton of tackles, but a lot of them were after 6 or 7 yard gains when he either ran himself out of position or was gobbled up. So I like the fact that you picked up Kirksey. Another, you know, hopefully he can bounce back, you know, after 2 injury-prone seasons in Cleveland. But to expect somebody who hasn't played a full year and full regular season schedule in, what, 2 years, you're asking a lot. So, I mean, you've got Queen, Simmons will probably be gone, or possibly Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma, who I've seen mid-first round. I know, like, Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV is really high on Kenneth Murray, and I'd have to agree with him. If they didn't have such holes at wide receiver, if he was there at number 30, I would jump all over it. But it'll be interesting to see where he slides. Another one that could be later in the draft, a kid I just thought watching on tape, is Logan Wilson from Wyoming. And he had like 3 or 4 interceptions this past year for the Cowboys. And he's not just – I mean, he's 6'2", 250 – had a strong combine. I think the fact that he played in a conference like any other conference now in college that passes the ball a lot, he had 4 interceptions and did a good job in coverage. So maybe they get him in the 4th or 5th round. And, you know, with Penn's scheme, which I don't understand his scheme much, is, you know, maybe he doesn't care about what's at inside linebacker. He plays a lot of one linebacker with a safety as the other nickel linebacker. And Oren Burks, you're still expecting him to do something. He just hasn't, you know. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
That's the other thing that kind of leads into some of this, is they're like, how much are we going to be looking at just, you know, getting a healthy Graven Green back and trying to play him in that hybrid spot, or doing things like that, or even drafting one of the bigger safeties that are going to be available a little later and kind of playing them hybrid too and just switching some snaps in for them, so rotating them through and keeping them fresh. Another name to think about, more of a second round sort of guy, if you get like Jefferson or Ayuk in, or whatever, in the first round, or Mims most likely, Malik Harrison is still out there as a guy who is a second round pick, Ohio State linebacker, little slower, but he's going to be like an upgrade athletically to Blake Martinez. He's faster. He tackles just as well. Like, he's a sure tackler. He fills quickly, reads well. For a second round pick, he's going to be a guy who can come in and start at an NFL level and will be an upgrade from what we've had. So that's another guy to take a look at too. Played big time football, played against, you know, the best offensive lineman you're going to see, and still put up good numbers and played on, you know, some very good teams against some very good running backs. So if we're going to get out of that first round pick.
Another guy to keep on is, and I just had to look him up real quick, is Willie Gay from Mississippi State. That is he was a big time high school recruit, and he had has a lot of speed at 6'2", 240. I mean, that might be another one in the second, third round they can get. Like I was telling you, we were talking before the show, is this draft of the Packers, for a team that reached the NFC championship game last year, they have a lot of holes to fill, and it'll be interesting to see how they, you know, without, I mean, let's be honest, except for Wagner and Kirksey, they didn't do much in free agency. Funches too, but now they've got to use the draft to fill these holes. And, you know,
They got to find guys who can play. They can't do like Gary last year. They can't find a guy who's just going to be a rotational for what they've got. They need guys who can play at those spots. They need a receiver. You know, they need some help in the middle there, because it's not going to be Burks. And I like Burks, and I like what he can do, in that he's pretty versatile and that he knows how to rush a passer and has the speed to cover. But I need to see it first before I can really just open up my heart fully at this point, you know. But
well, yeah, that's the thing is, what do you? I mean, what are you going to get out of him? You know, especially say they, you know, stand pat in the draft or grab just somebody inside linebacker late in the draft, and if Kersey goes down again, Oren Burks is your main linebacker.
Yeah.
Or the kid from TCU, I can't, Summers, I think.
Oh, yeah, Summers, Ty Summers.
Yeah, that.
See if he gets any
you're
going
to expect them to fill the position. I mean, they're really rolling the dice on this. And
Summers is okay. He's an okay guy who's, you get excited to see him in preseason when he's playing against other second-teamers, but, you know, he's that guy. He's, that seems what he, I mean, maybe he makes a big jump this year. I don't expect it particularly, but that's your only other hope, really. I just want to see, I mean, like, it would be great to get Patrick Queen and have Patrick Queen and Kevin King, and then we could have, like, a prom theme day at Lambeau. And, you know, husbands and wives could buy jerseys together that are already existing jerseys. You know, it would be great. We'd have King and Queen together.
The kiss cam would be going wild. It would be great.
It would be so good. I've never seen a kiss cam at Lambeau, but they would start it for that if we did it.
Yeah.
All right. In terms of the draft, that's as far as we're going to go this week on that one. One thing that I want to put out is obviously in the fact that there are no sports, I have been trying to find other things to talk about. And this week, I just went ahead and made my own 32, entry bracket. They're not teams, but individuals. And it's a little different what we went with here. And I was sharing this with several people around here, too. It's a bracket of all-time fan favorites. So, and kind of how I explain it too is sometimes, you know, Brett Favre is obviously an all-time fan favorite, but you can't make him that in this because he's a fan favorite in part because he was so good. If he had been an alcoholic who was terrible, we'd have run him out of town on a rail. Like, you can get away with all those fun, good old boy stories when you're that good. And he was. He really was. So that's the thing is I didn't think he belonged on there because a lot of his fan favoritism is because he was so good. Same with like Reggie. Like Reggie was my favorite player. Even I loved him when he was with the Eagles. Like I played defensive end in middle school and high school. I loved Reggie White. He was just amazing to watch, but he doesn't belong on this list. There were some people here.
I am troubled that you didn't leave or that you left Wayne Simmons off this list. The very troubled Wayne Simmons, rest in peace. But Wayne was one of my favorites. Just mean and
he's a mean linebacker. Yeah.
Oh, and he. I remember they always gave him the duty of jamming the tight end, and those tight ends never did anything when Wayne was at the top of his game.
George Koontz is another guy I could have put on there and didn't. I guess. So I've got 32 players on here. We're in round one and the voting is going on right now on my Twitter page at Not So Humble Host. I've pinned it to the top of my page so anyone can find it. Right now, Jordy Nelson is a one seed running away with it against BJ Raji. Driver destroying John Anderson. Bryce Pop beating up Yurkovic, John Yurkovic, and, you know, William Henderson beating up Charles Martin. It's not where Charles Martin is used to me being. You know, he's normally doing the beating up. In a 2-7, Chuck Cecil currently upsetting Tim Harris. I find that a little weird, but yeah, I guess. I don't know. John Kuhn is a one seed killing Jeff Janis, just destroying him right now. Amon Green in a 4-5, just destroying Ken Rutgers. That shows, too, my seating was just off. And like you said, too, maybe he doesn't belong as a fan favorite as much as just great. So it's hard to say. Edgar Bennett losing in an upset right now to TJ Lang.
That's shocking.
So, yeah, it's a little surprising to me, but. Yeah, I still go with that the 3-6 having Edgar Bennett having a higher seed there. But yeah, TJ Lang winning right now. Don Mikowski beating up Johnny Gray. Gilbert Brown destroying Brian Noble, making one person very unhappy. But what are you gonna do?
I think I voted for Brian Noble.
It's a 4-5 and it's 91% to 9%.
Good Lord.
Yeah, Gilbert's a hard one to go against. He's still there around town often enough.
Yeah.
Another 1-8. Oh, no, Jordy, I already mentioned that one. Dorsey and Lynn Dickey. Dorsey Levins and Lynn Dickey are tied. They are 50-50 right now. Fuzzy Thurston is up apparently like a single vote on Aaron Campman in what's a 2-7. Max McGee beating Bill Schrader.
Well, come on.
He's a local boy. He's from Sheboygan, played at UW lacrosse.
Yeah, but I don't think he was well-liked by anybody.
I think he was very well. He's obviously well. He's 38%. Really? It's 63 to 38 in that one. It's not a blowout. I mean, he's beaten up fairly well, but yeah.
God, it's Max McGee.
Yeah, I know. Max McGee is a one seed. I pick him as a one seed because, well, and I think you take into account some of these is that a lot of the guys who are well-liked become radio people. They're not radio people, and then that makes them more well-liked. It's that, like, Larry McCarron in a 2-7 is beating up on Mark Murphy. Not that Mark Murphy, the one with alopecia. The safety, you know. And Larry McCarron is you know, does the broadcast, but it's because he was already immensely well-liked. Robert Brooks beating Johnny Holland. This is the one that surprises me maybe the most. I don't know. Mark Tauscher is only barely ahead of Al Harris.
Well, that's
52 to 48.
That's just wrong.
In percentages. Yeah, it's percentages. But yeah, I was like, Mark Tauscher's like Bill Schrader. Mark Tauscher is from Auburndale. He then went to Madison and then played for the Packers for his entire career. You're like, I don't know how you get back.
The only difference is Tauscher seemed like well-liked, where Bill Schrader seemed like he had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. There's some interesting stories that Jason Wilde from ESPN Wisconsin tells about Bill Schrader that if you ever get a chance to hear him talk about Bill, it's pretty interesting.
Well, the one thing is, like, Bill Schrader, I mean, he went to UW lacrosse. He didn't go to Madison. So that changes the way some people think about it. I have him as an 8 seed against Max McGee. I don't think he's going to win. He definitely belongs in the discussion. The other thing that hurts him is he went and played a significant time in Detroit. So I think that has to hurt. Some of the other people who I had in my initial list is like 40 people, and I had to trim it down. And, you know, like Don Beebe, not the most athletic guy, but immensely fun to watch. Huge hustle guy. I mean, like, that's what you want to see is guys who are fun to watch and were big hustle players. I'm trying to think of who else I had to cut off there at the end. But, yeah, Don Beebe. Also, the other thing with Don Beebe is he's mostly known for playing in Buffalo. But, yeah, we're going to move through this bracket, and we'll kind of break it down. There are a couple other names I'm trying to think, because I think I shared some of, like, who my own personal ones. Somebody mentioned Chester Markle. That's a great pick that I didn't have on there. I think, again, I thought of him and said that he was a very good kicker for quite a while, and it's almost that might, I don't know, being too good goes against you. But, yeah, they're right. The getting his own kick and returning it against the Bears is one of the greatest things ever, right?
Well, I think he's also still big around the Green Bay area, if I'm not mistaken, isn't he?
He had a book recently. I actually met him. He was in Wisconsin Rapids promoting his book. Did make some rather possibly disturbing political statements for no reason, unsolicited. But you're like, cool, whatever. That's... I'm not going to let that taint my opinion of him. He's a fantastic player, and you can think whatever you want. I mean, it wasn't racist or anything. It was just, you're just like, okay, that's an interesting take, but weirdly conspiratorial. But all right, man, whatever. I'm not going to get into it because I don't care about your politics or mine or anyone else's at this point. We're talking about sports. Who are some of the other names I talked about here? I wanted to give my specifics who I said, like, this is not about the best Packer ever. Oh, here's Antonio Freeman. Another guy who was like, okay, he almost just got too good to be on the list. Sam Congato is a one-year kind of hit, and he's a doctor now. I mean, that he's such a great story.
Oh, I think he did. He went overseas as a doctor for a while, and
yeah, he's a great guy.
His time. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
He's an incredible person. Don Davey is another one that, in terms of being a fan favorite, was. You know, somebody who's up there, he's a Badger, and yep. Went on and did that. I'm trying to think who else other people were mentioning. Oh, yeah, KGB. Yeah, his recent stuff is really, if you haven't read it, he's had some very recent run-ins with the law that are more so than even Amon Green's, because he's had a couple big ones.
Yeah,
like,
he's in a category by himself.
Amon Green's had issues. I mean, like, yeah. That's there's no doubting that, and that's been documented, but it's one case at this point. I don't know what else we have out there. I mean, but KGB's had a couple issues at this point.
You could have added Frankie Winters.
Oh, yeah, that's true too.
That's one.
It's hard to get some of these. Yeah, I'd almost. There's a couple you almost just have to. Paul Coffin was another guy I talked about possibly, but he's almost too good. Yeah, there's several names. Obviously, I can't get everybody on here. It just gets too big and too much. So yeah, it's basically what I think is this is just a bracket to see who's going to lose to Donald Driver in the final, because that's what it's going to look like, I think. The only other little bit of Packers news that we have is the All-Decade team came out today, Monday, and Aaron Rodgers is one of two quarterbacks on the team, him and Tom Brady. Tom Brady was one of eight players who was a unanimous pick for the All-Decade team. Two of the other eight were Joe Thomas and J.J. Watt. So moving right into any sort of Badgers information we have this week, two of the eight unanimous picks for the All-Decade team are Badgers. And there's another Iowa player, Yanda, and Brady being from Michigan. Four of the eight unanimous picks are Big Ten. The only
no Golden Gophers?
No.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah, Decker didn't make it. I can't name another one that I can think of who would even be close. Maroney was gone before the decade. I can't think of a ton of other Gopher players who did anything in the NFL in recent years. Johnson River this year will be at least an interesting pick. But yeah, no, that's interesting. There was only one SEC of the unanimous, and that was somebody who actually started off Big 12, Von Miller out of Texas A&M. But I believe he started when he was a freshman. It was still Big 12, but he's the only SEC player. Justin Tucker out of Texas and Adrian Peterson out of Oklahoma give the Big 12 a couple names there. So, yeah. But, yeah, Big 10 looking good. And Badgers, the only school to have two people unanimous all decade this year, this last decade. It's a pretty incredible thing to have. And congratulations to Rodgers.
What Joe Thomas did at Wisconsin and with the Browns was phenomenal. I mean, you can make the argument he was right up there in top three, four left tackles in the NFL ever.
Yeah, you got like
Munoz,
yeah. Greg, maybe. Like Forrest Gregg's got to be up there in terms of tackles.
Yeah.
Yeah, Munoz is he's my man. That guy is so good.
Yes.
If you don't know Munoz, I mean, I don't have to tell you. Jonathan Ogden. Got to be one of those guys, at least in the conversation. Willie Rofe with New Orleans and Kansas City late in his career. Yeah, fantastic tackle. Those guys are all in that conversation, yeah.
I think people forget how athletic Joe Thomas was. I mean, even though he hasn't played, you know, it's only been a few years that he's been retired. But, I mean, I think he – well, when he blew out his knee in Wisconsin, he was playing defensive line. I think he actually played some defensive line at the time.
That sounds actually correct, oddly correct. Because, yeah, that guy was such a great player. It was amazing to watch. He was just – And I watched J.J. Watt when I was in law school. I saw him live for several years. He is my man crush. He's so great. My wife's cousin married a woman who graduated like high school with him, and he always makes a joke too. He's like, you know, if you left me for him, I'd get it. You know, I had to tell you should do it if you had a chance. You should definitely do that. I was like, yeah, that's hilarious.
Well,
like,
I would do it. On the show here when I said that, or I was talking to somebody that I said, God, you know, he seemed like he had a down year last year. And they're like, yeah, he led the league in sacks. I mean, that's how good he is just the fact that you think he has a down year. He led the league in sacks, for God's sake.
Yeah, like 2 years ago, he had 16 sacks and nobody talked about it. And you're like, wait, what? Yeah.
Well, and I think people forget, too, is he's doing this as an interior defensive lineman in a 3-4.
Well, he moves to D end and nose tackle. I mean, he'll go anywhere. They used to talk about it at Wisconsin. Bielema always said, like, you can't take him out of the games because, like, he has the best conditioning of any player on the field. And the reason why is he does crazy amounts of conditioning training because he's afraid if he puts on any more weight, Bielema was going to make him play nose tackle because he's, you know, 300-pound dude.
And he's a massive guy.
Yeah. And he was afraid if he got bigger, they'd put him at nose tackle. He was like, no, I want to stay at end. And so he did all this cardio. That guy can go forever. He's crazy. I just, he's my man crush. I love that guy.
Well, and he's a great representation of the history of walk-ons at Wisconsin, because technically he was. Because he came from, what, Central Michigan as a tight end he transferred
yep.
from?
Yep.
So I think he was a walk-on at first. He didn't get scholarship right away and then became the player he came.
Well,
I mean, that's
and that's how they got Derek Watt. Derek Watt was going to be a linebacker at Northwestern and switched his commit because his brother helped, you know, get Wisconsin convinced that they should bring in all the Watts.
And TJ, I think, was a tight end when he first came in. I mean, that's...
Yeah, he was going to be a tight end. He actually, in his senior year of high school, they switched him to quarterback because he was the best athlete, and he was great at quarterback. And you're like, jeez. Yeah, he came in at tight end, moved him out to outside linebacker, and he's incredible. That's just a great group. And their Subway commercials are hilarious. I don't care what anybody has to say about that. It is J.J. Watt is the only non-Packer jersey I would ever consider owning at this point in my life. Just the only one.
You look at... Real quickly, what Wisconsin does, and you talked about shifting players to different positions and them excelling. I mean, that goes back to their coaching staff.
Yeah.
I mean, Zach Vaughn was a high school quarterback before he came to Wisconsin. So, yeah. I mean, that Deer River, is that the name of the town I think he's from?
I'd have to double check it. I'd have to look it up.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. These guys are, you know, shifting positions and you know, I always laugh when they talk about these kids, like the kid from Minneapolis who signed with them this year, Caden Johnson. He's an outside linebacker. Just a gut feeling of being All-American tight end or something with Wisconsin. they get the most out of him, and they put him in positions that can help the team the most, and they excel at it.
Yeah, they put a lot of guys in the NFL, and they succeed very well there. I mean, the number of linebackers in the NFL who are Packers linebackers, you know, not necessarily all starters and things like that, but like, you got Schauberts out there. You've got, I'm trying to think, there's a couple guys, backups. Connolly's with the Giants yet.
Leon Jacobs is with the Jags.
Yeah. TJ Edwards is somewhere. I can't remember where. He's not going to start. He's not fast enough for much of the NFL, but he's a smart player, and he can get in the right spots, and he can do a lot for you. Yeah, they've got a lot of players. Right. If Sitchie's out there somewhere, unfortunately, we had guys had to.
He's with the Bucs.
Okay, yeah. That's right. That's right. Unfortunately, one of the best ones was, I'm going to forget his name now, but he went to San Francisco, was starting there for a year, got concussion issues.
What is his name? Chris.
Yeah. And I'm going to feel terrible about it when I remember him, but he was so, so good and, played great there. We, like, came in after Patrick Willis retired, but then, you know, just retired early. He's like, no, I had a couple concussions. I'm done. I'm not going to mess with that. He's a smart guy. He's got a good degree from a great school. And you're just like, yeah. That's fine enough. So I guess that's kind of what we have in terms of the actual real news in terms of anybody we have, and even some of the fake news that I've created in terms of creating a Twitter poll battle type thing. The only other kind of news that we have is that, you know, the NBA, I'm going to mix these, you know, Jim, we talked about this beforehand, but I'm going to mix them both. Kirk Herbstreit talked about how there's a real conversation that the NCAA is talking about canceling the entire football season next year, already talking about it. I mean, everybody's already missed spring ball. There's also a conversation at the NBA trying to figure out, are they going to have any part of a season? Are they going to have a playoff? What will the playoff look like? One of the conversations with the NBA has been that they bring all the teams who qualify in, play this tournament in like Las Vegas. That's one of the cities they're talking about. Bring all the players in together so that there's no traveling. They can control the players. They can control where they move, where they are, keep them around the arena, keep them from getting in touch with other people, play in empty arenas, but still keep those TV contracts going, because that is money the TV stations really want, that advertising dollar. And the NBA wants to have those games televised because it's important for all their contracts and everything, and trying to keep paying the players, because they are in negotiations at this point, obviously, about whether or not they're going to continue paying the players what they have, or whether they're going to talk about what is the percentage of what they've gotten this year. They haven't gone anywhere with it, but they've started that conversation. Jim, I guess my suggestion at this point is, you know, just skip the entire first round of the playoffs. You're going to wait till July, just, you know, like June or whatever, and then just play four teams from each division. Play what you got from there, and for each conference, pardon me, not divisions. The first round of the NBA playoffs doesn't mean anything. There are basically never upsets in that round, even four fives. The top four teams from each conference are going to get through anyhow. Just send them on and start it there. Do it later. That's the only kind of playoff I could see happening at this point.
I don't know if there's any way. I mean, even if you were to shift this, with the talk has been Las Vegas and house them in hotels out there, how many teams that they're going to be playing at that point. I don't know until we get through, not to get into what's going on in non-sports, but over that hump that they talk about. Again, where are all these players? Are they located all across the country? Did a lot of the overseas players get to go home before this? You know, how's traveling going to go? I mean, traveling through airports, and, you know, are they going to have to take their temperatures before they take the court?
They're going to have to do something better than that. They're going to have to do actual tests, because the temperature doesn't matter, because you could go 2 weeks apparently or whatever and still be asymptomatic. So, yeah, they're going to find something better than just temperatures, right?
I just don't know with the amount of time that it's going to take to get to that point. We're sitting in early April, and, you know, talks of what's going to come this week, how you can look into a month from now and say, okay, then we can start planning for June. I just think it's a little, and I understand there's millions and millions of dollars pending on all this, but eventually you've got to, I mean, with most of the, what's it, five states that don't have stay at home, aren't being told to stay at home, and I won't get into that, but the fact that I don't know how you can put together any type of season. I mean, baseball is one thing. You know, I know that Scott Boras has talked about playing into December to get 162 games in or what have you.
It'll never happen.
No, I mean, realistically, you can talk about maybe an 81 game schedule for that professional sports league. You're trying to, and with the NBA, you're trying to finish off a season. I mean, then you got to get into the NHL. What are they going to do? I mean, do they play?
Those seasons are done. They're only going to be talking about playoffs at this point. If they're talking about a season, they're kidding themselves. They need to just talk about, can they have a playoff and what will it look like? And then they need some drop dead dates for, like, this is the last day we can talk about what an 16 game team season or whatever, like, looks like. 16 team playoffs dead at this point. We're going to an 8-team playoff. You know, and then eventually you just have to say, like, we're just done. We're done with it. And they have to start figuring those dates out now, because there's going to be venues involved, and they're just going to have to figure out when they're just done, because there's a point where they're going to be done. And maybe they get to a playoff. None of us know at this point. None of us, meaning, you know, Jim and I and even Aaron, we don't know what's going to happen in 2 weeks. We just don't know what the numbers are going to look like. And we'd like to see sports, but I want to see our athletes healthy and play for years.
Even if you put aside what's going on with the coronavirus, I mean, put that aside. You bring these guys in and you want to play it in June. Well, no, I guess you can't put aside the coronavirus. But so you've got, besides the coronavirus, when can their bodies be prepared to play regular games again? They've been off for what, a month? I mean, these guys' bodies are machines, and if you shut it down for a while, you don't know what you're going to get. Obviously, you're not going to get, like, you and I shoot 10-foot jump shots, but you're going to get, I mean, the chance of injury could be up there. I mean, the possibility, it's just, I don't know with winter sports right now if you can actually have any more games. Maybe I'm Debbie Downer here, but I would think you've got a better chance of seeing a baseball season, seeing some golf tournaments in the fall, late summer, maybe. And then, you know, they talked about that their fear is that the virus could peak again in the fall. I mean, that's the scary part. The idea of not playing, you know, college football, high school football, or football period in the fall. It just makes me sad. But again, this is a little bigger than, well, it's not a little, it is, it's bigger than sports right now. And the professional owners, they've been reaping the benefits of owning pro football or pro sports teams for a long time. You know, so be it.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's going to be hard to figure this whole thing out from here on. And yeah, we'll just keep our ear to the ground and keep listening to what people are trying to say, and know that just generally, I mean, we've got a bunch of owners who are smart in a lot of things, and the problem is they figure they're smart in everything, and they're going to say a lot of stuff that's just going to be really wrong. So we're just going to keep, I mean, we keep hoping for something normal and something on TV that isn't Tiger King, you know, just anything that isn't me sitting and watching Netflix all day, or, you know, I guess at least I got Survivor on Wednesdays with my kids and my wife. But anyhow, that's what we've got for this week. We've gone on as long as really we should at this point. Jim, thank you again for joining me. I was going to say us, but, you know, filling in this week. And
it's always a pleasure. I always enjoy coming on, especially at this, what's going on right now, and getting our minds off of what's going around in this world is real positive, and hopefully people are enjoying what we're talking about. And, you know, I don't know if I agree with what the NFL is doing by pushing through with free agency and the draft, but it does keep us busy and our mind off of things, and gives me something to write about when it's downtime and my family's watching TV. But, you know, hopefully we can get through this. But, you know, like I said, thanks a lot. I always enjoy coming on here. Sorry, kind of ending on a down note, but hey, there's still things to talk about, and we'll get through this like we always do.
Yeah. And, you know, I just talked with Aaron just yesterday, and he's obviously very frustrated he can't be here, because, you know, this is cathartic for all of us. This is a normal thing that Aaron and I do every week, and he's obviously in a very difficult sort of thing right now, dealing with a lot of planning and moving a lot of things around and a lot of people. So he and Holly are dealing with it best they can, and they're doing, I say, they're doing a great job, and God bless them both. And hang in there, Aaron, hang in there, Holly. We'll get him back here as soon as we can. Hopefully just next week we'll be back to, you know, having Aaron and seeing who else we can get to join us, if anybody. You may have noticed we've gotten new openings, mostly because the lovely voice of Holly Flottam, they got a new microphone, as you know, from listening to Aaron's voice. And Holly wanted to re-record all of her openings and closings and everything, so it sounded more to her liking, because she is a perfectionist and a performer, and really enjoys making sure that everything is good. So we're working on that. Also, she did record it, and you'll hear it later, Jim. We didn't play it for him here, but the opening does have his name in it at times. We have it. We have some of our guests specially added here. Just sadly, I did not add it in time to put the one. We do have one recorded for Wendy Hansen, but I didn't add it last week, so I apologize, Wendy. Wendy, I apologize, and I'm very sorry. Don't be mad. But anyhow, thank you again.
She's done.
Yeah. Right. I don't know that she gets mad, but either way, thank you. Thank you everybody for joining us again this week. It's been another week of, you know, some sort of sports for us here. And remember, don't go on the town and don't be on the go, but remember, it is still on Wisconsin.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.